This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm so happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Aaron Levantman and Maura Deuce-Studi. We are here to talk about a special event that's happening at the Santa Fe Playhouse. It's a staged reading of Robert Anderson's play, I Never Sang for My Father. It's this coming Friday, the 27th of May, and also Saturday. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So I just watched the movie starring Gene Hackman and Estelle Parsons and all kinds of really amazing actors from 1970. And it's an interesting and sort of emotionally rich play.
Right.
How did you choose this play? What did this, I mean, basically it's about a man who is a college professor who's trying to decide between caring for his aged father and following love to the other side of the country, which is probably a problem that is, that so many people have had over the years.
Well, the play has been in my consciousness for a very long time, and I think it's probably when I first did see the movie. I remember the film when I was growing up was on TV a lot, and it was just something that I remember really connecting with, even when I was young, the actors, the kind of writing it was, the material, the kind of conventional drama that I'm sort of nostalgic for still. So it was a play that I've sort of known about and wanted to do, to act in for a while. And I used to do monologues from the play for auditions and so on. So I was very familiar with the material. And I think as I'm getting older and the issues that you just mentioned are something that I certainly relate to and have had to deal with in different ways and that other people I know have had. So it's a play that for me in my life has become extremely relevant. And, you know, working on it now with Maura and with the cast, I sort of see why now. I stuck with it and wanted to find an opportunity to put it on. And, you know, I had a conversation with Von Irving, who's the new artistic director, relatively new at the Santa Fe Playhouse. And he's been wanting to try out new kinds of plays, new events. And he was very into doing this as a staged reading for this new series that they were thinking of doing, and it kind of, my proposal and then his idea for the series sort of came about at the same time. And we were offered this opportunity, and Maura I've wanted to work with for a while, so I was thrilled that she was able to take it on.
Yeah, I was very excited when Aaron asked me to come direct this. I've been wanting to work with him for a long time too, and I'm working with a lot of actors in Santa Fe that I have not worked with before. So it's been really wonderful finding all the wonderful talent that we have here. But, you know, I think the interesting thing about the play is that the real theme of it is our Gene, the professor, who's grown up with his father, who is distant and unloving, and yet, of course, he still loves his father, and now he's presented with this dilemma of where his loyalties lie, you know, with an aging father that he feels responsible for and that he feels he can't leave. And so really the dilemma in the play is one that I'm sure is very relevant and resonates with a lot of people right now. You know, what to do with your aging parents and how much of our own lives do we give up to take care of them as they age. And it's you know, very affecting. And I, as Aaron said, it's an issue that's just been touching all of our lives recently.
I think the emotional tension in this play is really interesting too, because so often the way, both in drama and in real life, the way adults treat their aged parents is a direct reflection of how their parents treated them when they were very young.
Right.
The power roles have reversed to some extent, and to some extent they haven't. And it's such an interesting thing in this play because the father is a very strong personality who had worked so hard to become successful enough to give his children opportunities. and can't believe how much they take him for granted. But the children who've had those opportunities and do take those things for granted can't believe how little emotional response the father has toward them.
Right.
And those are really the generational issues of our time and of the previous generation in so many ways.
Right. And there is a lot of discussion about, you know, generation comes up in the play. And there's also a discussion about mother versus father, masculine versus feminine parenting. And I think that comes up a lot. You know, there's this line in the play that, you know, Alice, who is Jean's sister, who's like the daughter that got away, she was able to be independent and leave the family and lead her own life in the way that Jean hasn't been able to. But she says to Jean at one point, you know, you're looking for the qualities of a mother and a father. And, you know, fathers offer you different things than mothers do. And they offer different life perspective and world perspective than mothers do. And, you know, I think that's a really good point, and it's something that probably before I reread the play, before we were doing this, that was the part that I remembered the most, because I think it talks a lot. It's not just about parents. It's about how we relate to different genders and in general in our lives, in relationships and, you know, in the world and work and so on. And how does that affect, and that on top of the generational aspect that you're mentioning is very significant.
Yeah. And yet it seems like there's such dated gender stereotypes.
Yes. Well, the play was written at a certain time. And
right. When was it written? The 1960s?
63, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe it was a little later,
69?
68 or 69, right?
Yeah, the movie's from 1970.
70, yeah. I think it was on Broadway in 68, 69,
yeah. I think, though, that one of the most interesting things to me about the play is that comes up is also the deep connection that Jean wants to make with his dad, which has never been there, mm-hmm. and yet he feels so desirous of a loving connection with his father and a male-to-male connection with his dad, even though, you know, they've had very little in common and his dad hasn't really been that supportive of his life choices and, as I said, distant. But you know, that comes up again and again in the play, mm-hmm. how Jean is empathetic to this man who's never really been very empathetic to him, but it's very touching.
It is, and at the same time, I don't know about you guys, I felt real empathy for both characters.
Yeah.
And I felt like the character of Jean, who is a man who's probably in his
40s.
Maybe late 30s, early 40s.
40s, yeah.
Never had children himself.
Right.
And so he doesn't have the empathy for his own father
mm-hmm.
that he might have had he had children. He was widowed or whatever you call it.
Yeah, it's a good point. But, you know, the other thing is that for a lot of parents, and I sort of could see this in the play, that the more they reject you, the more you try to go after and get that affection. It's, you know, it's like you crave that your whole life if you don't get it. And you, no matter how old you are, you're always going to try to get that affection and approval from that parent that didn't give it to you. And you work towards it if it's not there. Or you make a decision that you're not going to and that you are just going to get on with your life without that affection. But that's hard to do.
And that's what the sister character
right.
has to do. Mm-hmm. She is loved by her mother, who dies early in the play. Oh, sorry, spoiler alert, sorry. but it's early in the play, so it's okay. But her father had rejected her when she wanted to marry a Jew. That's another
right.
Kind of statement of its times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same kind of like cultural demographic probably would not be in that position today.
Well, I don't think so, though, because whether it doesn't matter what the specifics are of the play, I think it carries forward in time beautifully. I mean, right now, you know, it could be said you just transfer Jew to Muslim, let's
right.
say,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
the same thing would happen. I think the other thing that's so interesting, and again, it's not really all that dated, because the father is the product of an immigrant family. And although, you know, many Americans have that experience with their parents or grandparents, and so that generation disconnect as well, the parent having had a completely different experience growing up with no privilege and great struggle and, you know, coming from nowhere to aspirations of making a living and providing for your children. But, you know, we have many, many families in the United States now that experience the same thing, immigrant families that have certain things they aspire to and different gender assignments as well, too. So I don't really think it's all that dated.
No,
we just
right.
have to transfer it, you know, bring it forward.
Well, I think there are aspects to it that seem dated, but you're right. I mean, I think it wouldn't resonate with us today as we're working on it if it was just like, oh, just about this time in American history, American life. I think you're right. It does translate because it's the emotional power and it's these primal issues that we deal with as humans about, you know, aging parents, you know, love, fear, connection, distance, that just are never going to be old. They're always going to be relevant.
Yeah. And what you mentioned before, Mary Charlotte, that sort of role reversal that, you know, I mean, the father in this place seems to be, you know, very in command of everything. And he's, you know, very much the center of attention by his own design often. But the other undercurrent is his need that he's not able to express for his son. It's very clear throughout this play that he does not want to let go of the son and that he needs him even more than the mother does.
Right.
And yet he's not able to express it.
Right.
And that's such an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, it's a well conceived and written and crafted play.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
And you're right. I mean, I suppose it's dated maybe for that demographic, but maybe not even that. And for the next one, you know, it would be so interesting to see this play 15 or 20 years from now performed by, like, children of Latin immigrants in the United States.
Right. It's interesting because the issue about the sister marrying a Jewish man is, like, talked about but not talked about in the play. Like, it's mentioned, but it doesn't go into really the exact, you know, attitude that the father has towards Jews or what that could be, but it's, you sort of get it just by his character. But I think as Maura was just saying, I mean, you can carry that kind of attitude towards, you know, a lot of other prejudices that exist today and that have always existed.
We're talking about the play I Never Sang for My Father, which is being performed this weekend at the Santa Fe Playhouse. And this is a staged reading. And I have to say, I have a great affection for staged readings.
Me
because
too.
Do you?
Yeah, sure.
They allow your imagination to really work and to set these people in time and space and all of that, in a way that props in a play sometimes actually distract from.
The interesting thing about this play is the author or playwright, as he describes the set and the set that was used in the original productions, it's very minimal. So, and they used like scrim projections to denote place and very few set pieces and props. Not a traditional set. And so, in actual fact, this isn't going to be too far off what the author intended. We haven't had 6 weeks of rehearsal, of course, but I think that the actors are doing a wonderful job realizing these characters. So I expect the audience to get a very full experience from this.
Are you, Aaron, playing the lead character of Jean?
I'm playing Jean. Campbell Martin, who recently played Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman last year at the Playhouse, is playing Tom, the father.
Nice.
And then Dennett Sills is playing Margaret, the mother. And Marguerite Scott, who's somewhat new to town, is playing Alice, the sister. And then we have Dick Kimberly, who's playing a couple of different parts. And then Michael Stanton as well. And then Marty Madden is going to be sort of like reading the stage direction, sort of acting as narrator. So we have a great group, great cast.
Now, this is a benefit for Gerard's House, whom we had on the radio not too long ago, and you chose this play, you chose its theme because of the work that Gerard's House does.
So Gerard's House is a counseling center. It's a service that provides counseling to people who are dealing with grief, primarily children, but they also work with adults, and they work in a lot of times in groups. They lead you know, counseling sessions in groups. And what's interesting about them is that it's, they both have licensed professionals, and they also have a, I guess you'd call them like peer counselors that are trained, like I could go in and be go through their extensive training program and work with some of their clients, because the point of it is to create a community of support. So you have people that are not only professionals, but others that are just very passionate about dealing with grief, that want to help others, that can be trained to do so. So it's about creating that community for people that need the services. And the play brings up a lot. I mean, it's not just about losing the life of one's parent, but it's also about grieving aspects of your life, you know, relationships that you never had, regrets that you had. There's a lot of different kinds of grief in the play. So I think it's a I think Gerard's House was actually a perfect organization to work with. We are going to have Katrina Kohler, who's the executive director of Gerard's House, is going to be leading a Q&A after the Friday night's performance, as well as Philip Bretzky, who's a licensed psychotherapist from Southwestern College, who also used to lead groups at Gerard's House. So you'll be able to, the audience will be able to put the play into context with these professionals, as well as talking with Maura and myself about the play afterwards.
Yeah, actually, the theme in the play is grief, mm-hmm. because although, you know, there's a death in the actual play, but the circumstances that have formed these characters, there are other deaths and certainly disassociation that mm-hmm. feature very prominently in the character development.
And the title of the play, I Never Sang From My Father, there's only a very brief reference mm-hmm. to it, but it is poignant mm-hmm. because it expresses what the son himself withheld.
Exactly. And it's two things. It's about the son withholding because he's afraid of the father's criticism about his singing, but it's also withholding that the son isn't fully able to be present for the father either, in a way. And so it's about both of those things that you'll, you know, the audience will see at, you know, when that mention happens in the play, that it's, you know, relationships, there's always two sides of the story. It's always two-sided. It's rarely one person's fault. It's about the combination of elements and conflicts and competition and fear and that come up between both parties.
Now, this staged reading is one in a series of staged readings, mm-hmm. all of which are benefits and all mm-hmm. of which plays are chosen by theme for the organization that they're benefiting.
Right. Well, I think in this case, I sort of came up with the play first, and then when I learned that there was going to be a nonprofit that would benefit from the reading, Gerard's House came to mind right away. But I know Vaughn, who's going to be at the artistic director, who's going to be at the readings, is going to probably talk to the audience beforehand about the other readings that are going to be coming up, hopefully, in the summer and fall at the Playhouse. That'll be very different plays, but similar idea.
What has been the fun and challenge of directing this play, Maura?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. It's I've sort of slipped into it kind of easily. I mean, there's some themes in it that are similar. Yeah, totally different play, but it's very. But there's, well, the time period that was written, and the themes of parent and child relationships and dynamics. So there's a lot of similarities between this play and The Subject Was Roses, which I have directed before, and is also I have a strong family connection to that,
right.
Because my father was in the Broadway production of that, and so it's been interesting to look at the parallels and differences between the two plays. Subject Was Roses was 1964, and is a similar dynamic, but you know, totally different plays.
So you grew up in the Broadway world.
I grew up partially in the Broadway world, yeah. But, you know, movies, television.
What was that like for you?
When we lived in New York, my father did two plays in New York when I was growing up. Subject Was Roses, which ran for several years, and we lived there. And I would go to the theater with him every night that I could, when I wasn't, you know, like on weekends and stuff, because I was a kid, but so I had to go to school. But I would just sit backstage and watch the show from the wings. I think I saw Subject Was Roses over 100 times.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was Martin Sheen. That was his first big role as well, put him on the map. And then when I was just out of high school, I went with my father. He originated the part of Uncle Willie in the Sunshine Boys on Broadway. Mm. And I worked as an assistant, so I was at every rehearsal. Alan Arkin was the director, and so I've gained a lot of my knowledge of how to direct and act, and knowledge of theater from being there and being surrounded by some of the most fantastic actors from the 50s and 60s, for sure, as I was growing up.
Seeing the same play so many times, did you become attuned to the nuance of what was different every night?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Which has been very interesting for me in my work as a director, because, I always tell my actors, and also as an acting teacher, it's going to be different every time. You know, we aim for certain truths that we know we need to address or connect with as the actor. But, not to worry if you don't cry every night necessarily, especially on stage, because the audience can't really see. But if the emotional content is there, they will feel it, regardless if tears are really coming out of your eyes. So, it gave me a great respect, and I could sit backstage, and I still am really attuned to that. I very much listen to the rhythm of the actor's speech, and because I'm also a musician, right? So I always equate acting, a good performance, like singing a song or doing a musical piece. You know, there's a rhythm to it. There's high points and low points, and there's a melody to it that we follow. But it will have variations every night.
Very interesting. Well, the play is called I Never Sang for My Father. The stage reading is this Friday, the 27th of May at 7:30, and then Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Santa Fe Playhouse. It's the premier event in their reading series, directed by Mara Dustudy, starring Aaron Levantman. Lots of other great actors in it as well. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure.
And you don't need to get tickets in advance. You can buy your tickets at the door. Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.